This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Let's go to Derby City, shall we, to start the 8 o'clock hour. The sophomore from Wenatchee, Washington is Haley Van Lith, one of America's top collegiate basketball players. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thank you guys for having me.
Sure. Great to have you back. Yesterday, an outlier. You don't obviously go in and think you're going to lead somebody, 41-4 at any point in a ball game. I mean, that just doesn't cross anybody's mind. So when it's in progress, like it was yesterday at Notre Dame, Haley, what are you thinking? Just stay focused and keep playing?
Yeah, one thing that I was trying to stay focused on and tell my teammates was just contain their runs, because the only way that they were going to have a shot at staying in the game was to have a huge run. And so when I felt like they were trying to make a run at us, I was like, maintain this, like, don't let this go crazy, keep it as short as possible, and obviously the game will end how we want. So,
you know, when you're up 45-4, it really is kind of, I mean, especially when you expect a great game. I mean, Notre Dame is a terrific team, as you well know. It's a top 15 team on the road. This was not beating up on Pack and West and three dudes in the neighborhood running us out of the building. I mean, you're playing a really good team that's really
quickly,
well coached.
Quickly, Haley went, yes, that's right. It's not like playing you guys. Yeah.
No, it's a lot easier playing them.
Right. So, but, you know, you mentally prepare yourself, hey, this is going to be a tough battle, great crowd. They're going to be into it. They want a piece of us. And next thing you know, it becomes ridiculous, right? It's 45-4. I would assume it's easy to lose your edge when all of a sudden your prep work for it and it becomes easy. And you go, oh, we're up 40. You know, we can get loose with the basketball. We can throw some turnovers. They're not going to go in a 35 zip run and all of a sudden we're in a fist fight in the fourth quarter. So mentally, that sometimes becomes even more difficult, isn't it? When you get a lead like that, just to maintain, hey, pressure. Let's put a foot on the gas and go.
Yeah, for sure. Especially like you said, like with Notre Dame being a great team, any slip ups that we could have had, it could have sparked their run. But I think what really helped, honestly, was the crowd was very engaged. Like even though we were up by a lot, like the crowd that came for us was cheering the whole time. The Notre Dame crowd was cheering the whole time. So it was really fun. Like the entirety of the game was super fun. And, we just followed our scout all four quarters. And I think that was what allowed us to stay ahead.
Haley, I'm seeing a lot of catch and shoot highlights here. I mean, you know, it's, they did a good job of finding you ready to go yesterday, it seemed like too.
Yeah, you know, we knew Notre Dame was going to play a matchup zone, so we worked on some zone offense before. The last game we played them, they played man, so we were figuring like they were going to try and switch something up because we won that game as well. And we hit shots. Everyone hit shots yesterday. We shot a really high percentage, and we all found each other, and it was a really fun. It was a really fun game to be in.
All right, you clinched the 2 seed for the tournament. Take me through kind of now what you learned a year ago, as awkward as that kind of event was, though, but what you learned a year ago to kind of put together what this event means to this team. I know it's important. Coach Walls has told us that. I know it's a building block to the next step of what you guys want to be, but do you approach it differently this year? Do you think of it differently?
Yeah, I mean, for this team, obviously, we're really special, and we have Final Four aspirations, and we think we're a team that can have a deep run. But the ACC tournament is really important. It's before the NCAA tournament, and we have to take care of it, and we have to handle business. And I've never won an ACC tournament chip. A lot of girls on the team have never won one. So I think this year we're really fighting to get that first one. And, it's going to be a really fun tournament.
I'm going to go back to Notre Dame a second, Haley. It's always interesting to me, regardless if it's football, basketball, baseball, women's tennis, you pick a sport. Sometimes teams match up well against others. And sometimes, for whatever reason, regardless of the record, they don't. What is it about Louisville when you see Notre Dame that just seems to click? Because Louisville's now won 6 straight against the Irish, beaten by over 20 in all those games. And really, on paper, it seems like this game should be tight and close every time you play.
Yeah, I think one thing for our team that separated us a little bit was just our depth. And everyone we subbed in made an impact on the game. And I don't think that was necessarily the case for Notre Dame. You know, they have a short roster this year. I think one of the girls told me they were only playing with six girls during that long break we had in the first half. So I think that our depth really separated us. But also, you know, our team is tough. We have edge to us, and we knew it was a big game. We knew it means a lot to Louisville to win those games. So I think that we wanted to do everything we could to take care of business. So,
Haley, there's so many – you mentioned expectations. You mentioned the execution piece of this team. There's so many expectations. There's an expectation Mark and I have talked about when we come to ACC women's basketball – how NC State and Louisville are kind of at this level, right? There's a different level for you two, and it's not that the league's not good. The league's terrific. But what is it about that expectation and handling it that you need to keep in mind?
Yeah, I think it is a high expectation, and we do play in a great league. And obviously, as you've seen, you have to show up every game because every team is going to give you a run for your money. And I think that's the best part about playing in the ACC, and that's the best part about going to schools like Louisville and NC State, is that that's what it's like in the level. If you have aspirations to play after college, that's what it's like in the professional leagues. Every game you have to show up. Every game you have to be ready to play. The other team wants to beat you. And so I think that that's just a big benefit. It's really, really hard, and a lot of people don't realize how hard it is to be focused like that every single game, but it's worth it because it sets you up for success after college.
Haley, every year it's a different team. What is it about this year's team that you think is better than last year's team?
I think we just have depth, and we move the ball really well. I think that we've had a ton of games where it's a combination of different girls who are the leading scorers or who are hot. And we also have five girls that will step up and play defense all together at once. You know, we're always working on things, but I think collectively we just gel together a lot better than we did last year. And that obviously could be an effect of the COVID and all the difficulties last year brought. But this year, I think we just collectively play with each other well and know each other's games.
We've had Emily Inksler on here, had Kiana on. It's been fun to talk to them. But it seems like Emily added something to this team with obviously Olivia playing great inside too. Having two post players on the floor at the same time became kind of like a real bonus for what Coach Walls wants to do. What's it meant to you to have two bigs on the floor?
Yeah, you know, Emily, she's interesting because she doesn't really want to be a big sometimes. She likes to be that stretch four, be out on the three-point line, and we love that for her. She has that range. She's very versatile. But to have two bigs for me, you know, even last year, sometimes I would have to guard a four player, guard a bigger girl, play the four on offense. And that's allowed me to move off the ball, be more of a two guard, a shooting guard. My sister going up, because I have people in the post to get easy assists to who can just get quick turns and scores. It's made our offense flow a lot easier. Teams can't guard us inside out. And I think that when we have a post player like Olivia and Emily, who you can't guard one-on-one, they always have to send doubles. That just benefits the guards on the three-point line because we're going to get open shots. So definitely having those two really good post players on the block has stretched defenses out and made them scramble trying to figure out how to guard us. So,
Haley, I told you this during the break before you brought you on. I know you got like 18 trillion Instagram followers, but your biggest fan is right here in the basement.
It's a 13-year-old cockapoo.
His name's Chester. Yeah. And there he is. And there he is right there. Every time he hears Haley Van Lith, if you're on TV or an interview, he loves you. And I know people go, Pack, your dog does. My dog knows
including
HBL.
Me, Haley.
I'm just telling you.
I don't.
So you've got the biggest fan in the world. He's got four legs. He's 13 years old. and he's going 100 miles an hour, and he loves you. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Who can say they got a dog that loves them, man? That's
exactly
that's
right. Normally, it's normally man's best friend, but in this particular case, he is a huge Haley Van Lith fan. I'm just telling you.
I love it. That's
I'm suspecting. I doubt most of this, Haley, just so you know.
You can doubt it all you want. You know what? That dog right there is normally sound asleep, but as soon as you came on the air at 8,
yeah,
he went right into the pose. He's sitting there going, oh, Haley, that sweet left-hand jumper, man. He loves it.
I will say,
passes.
I will say, Kelly Gramlich came in here one day and co-hosted with Pack, and she bought in to Chester and Haley Van Lith.
People think I'm crazy.
Kelly, you know, you get Kelly and Debbie to buy in, and then it's a fact.
I guarantee as soon as we say goodbye to you here in a couple minutes, he'll go back into the resting position and snore for the rest of the show. But as soon as you're on, bam, he goes right in the moon.
There you go.
That's it.
Yeah, he knows. He knows what time it is.
That's exactly right.
All right. We've had fun with Coach Walls a lot on this show. In fact, I think he's still the only guy to do a segment on the show from the service department at a car dealership.
That is true.
Okay. What's your favorite Jeff Walls story through almost 2 years, Haley?
You know, there's one every day with him. honestly, he loves to give me a hard time. He loves to hug me. I'm not a hugger. And he loves to just give me a big hug because he knows that it irks me. And I've gotten a lot better at it. And I actually reciprocate and get the two hands, not just the side hug now. So I will say he's helped me grow a little bit in that aspect. But he's just always giving me crap, and I give it right back. And it's a really fun relationship. So
I love it. Hey, you know, when we had you on last time, you were showcasing that sweet shoe deal behind you. Give me your best pair behind you. What's the best pair?
What are we doing now?
Well, actually, this summer I did cop a few different pairs of Jordans. So I got some brand new Jordan 3s up there, which are like a special women's edition. That one I had to pull some tricks out of the bag for. So I say those would be my favorite.
And name, image, and likeness. We hear your name about that all the time. How's that been?
It's been really great. I've been able to use it a lot to mostly for charity and to help things that I think that need attention. And I've been able to use my social media for that. We've worked with a all-girls school here in Louisville a lot, the Grace James Academy, and we've gone them to a game. I did a give back with them before the season started, and it's been really great. It's helped me connect with the community here and give back, and that's probably what's most important. So,
hey, Haley, I'm curious, in an era where that developed and right away your name came up, how many fellow women's basketball players from around the country reached out to you just to say, hey, what are you going to try and accomplish here? How much have you had to, quote, mentor other players at the collegiate level about name, image, and likeness?
Yeah, I think, when it first came out, no one really knew what was going on. So it took a while for people to talk about it. But I think with my teammates, I have an agency, and I'm signed with an agent. So I do have, especially on the legal aspect side of it, like what we're allowed to do, like what's breaking the rules. I would say my teammates ask me a lot, like for reference, like, am I really allowed to do this? Is this one smart? And I'm glad to help them out because obviously I want them to take full advantage of it. And what if they want to hear my opinion, I'll give it. And not everyone has the resources that I've been able to have and have people that have studied it and know what exactly we're allowed to do. So I even will shoot them questions over text for my teammates and all that stuff. But a lot of my teammates are doing good, and they've gotten a lot of deals, and it's just been really fun to see people want to advertise, especially with women athletes, and how far our reach really is. So
I think also, and you know this better than anyone else, you're in a premium marketplace for it. The University of Louisville and its athletics program, lends itself to that community in such a way, and the fan following, and certainly the program following you guys have,
yes,
makes that a pretty good fit. So, well, thanks for sharing on that, and it's great to see you. We look forward to seeing you in Greensboro. Chester will not be in Greensboro, unfortunately. I don't think you're in last.
Oh, no.
Listen, if the Coliseum would let me bring the dogs, I'd have Chester and Fuller. I mean, that would be like a dream come true for my man right there. He loves it. Yes.
Take care, Haley. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right. Haley Van Lith of Louisville. Terrific player.
God, she is that.
Yep. Terrific player.
I know we're going to get to Greensboro Friday.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, how it plays out, it plays out. But I got to tell you, a part of me would love to see Louisville and NC State at least one more time.
Sure.
I got to tell you.
Absolutely. No question.
But they got to get there first.
Yep.
And that won't be easy.
Right about that. And if they do, it'll be a championship game at noon on ESPN. Mm-hmm. When we come back, best of the weekend. Armando Bacot will be on the list. And arguably, we're going to go to PNC. We got Tommy Tanks. And arguably the best Packer in Durham bump ever. Next on ACCN.
The Packer in Durham podcast. This is the Packer in Durham podcast.
Don't forget tonight's part 7 and 8 of the tournament, A History of ACC Men's Basketball, comes your way at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Episode 7 highlights 1984 to 1989. At 9 o'clock, Lethal Weapon 3, 1990 through 1997. New episodes of the documentary available every Monday night at 9 and 10 through next week. And, of course, past episodes available for you now at ESPN app, and it's all presented for you by New York Life.
Documentary's been so fabulous. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for tonight.
And guests tomorrow, special guest tomorrow related to the documentary.
That's right.
Looking forward to that as well. Thanks to Haley Van Lith. She was fantastic as always.
Now notice, by the way, notice where Chester is now, right? I just said, as soon as
it's over,
he turns his back on the camera.
Yep.
Like, you know, wait a minute.
Not really.
Haley's gone. Ugh. He loves her. Loves her. Think I'm making that stuff up, don't you?
No, you're good. All right. Let's start. Best of the weekend.
This was a busy week. This list took forever this week.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, a lot of work went into this.
Yep. We'll start with the Hokies. Come from 8 down in the final 142 to win at Miami, 71-70. Darius Maddox, who joins us in the 9 o'clock hour, is the hero of the day for Mike Young's team. Critical, critical road win for Virginia Tech.
Told you, they've played some classics, these two. You know, just talked to with Haley Van Lith about certain teams match up. These two, for whatever reason, hook up and play crazy close games. We've seen two classics just this year between these two.
Unbelievable. That was just one of two. Now, these two games ended within, like, what, 40 minutes of one another?
Bang, bang.
Yeah. So you had Maddox's shot, and then you go to Virginia and roll the videotape, and here is Gene Deckerhoff on the call.
Looks up court. Throws the ball down court. It's caught by Cleveland. Puts up the prayer. Officials are going to go to the monitor to see if look at the Seminole celebrate. Matthew Cleveland from 40 feet.
Matthew Cleveland, I see you, young fella.
Fire the cannons. Oh, sorry.
Wrong team.
Mean Gene with the call.
I love
He's something, isn't he?
That is awesome. So, Cleveland the game winner. Virginia a winner. I mean, Florida State a winner at Virginia, rather.
Virginia thought they had a winner with 1 second
to go. Holy cow. Armando Bacot becomes the first UNC player since Dirt with 20, 15, and 5 in a game. And he got going early and often. He had a double-double at halftime in Raleigh on Saturday. A little bit of a learning opportunity for Ebenezer Dowana, you think?
What? This series has just become so one-sided. I wonder about NC State fans in this series a little bit. I do.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where North Carolina walks in the room and says, sit down. They go, okay, we'll sit over here now. I mean, they've just owned North Carolina State.
So, Baycott and the Tar Heels went impressively in Raleigh on Saturday. Rachel Baxter of Virginia Tech is on the best of the weekend.
That's right. Get this right now.
Fourth straight ACC pole vaulting championship.
Since Dirt.
First time a four-time pole vaulting champion has emerged from the ACC.
I went deep into the best of this weekend.
Did great here.
How about that? I think it might be our first pole vault highlight on Packer and Durham. Took 574 shows.
You sensing we go to the pole vaulting championships this year? No, maybe not.
I don't think so.
Virginia Tech's men and women won the ACC indoor track and field title. Now, Duke got a share of the women's title, but Virginia Tech's men and women win both sides. How about this?
Hardware, Wes.
Man, just putting it together now.
All about hardware.
I mean, there you go. Jim Phillips was busy this weekend.
You know, he said he was going to go and take care of business there.
Yeah,
right?
He got it all. I mean, because I think he was there, and I think he was also at fencing. And
by the way, Rachel Baxter, University of Virginia, not Virginia Tech. I want to make sure we get that right.
Oh. Well,
we want to make sure it gets it right. It
says Virginia Tech on the sheet.
Oh, I thought it was Virginia, but go ahead.
All right.
I want to make sure I get it right.
My list,
I still can't get it right.
Syracuse honored Mike Krzyzewski before the game. Now, we've seen a lot of schools do a lot of different things, and Syracuse found something very unique to tie to their university in honor of Coach K.
We are pleased to announce today a new award in Coach Krzyzewski's honor, the Captain William Michael Krzyzewski Award for Leadership and Civic Engagement. Presented annually to a military-connected student at Syracuse University.
How about that?
Coach Gay, thank you for your service and commitment to our country.
Well done, Syracuse.
I got to tell you, I thought Virginia did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
With the ceremony, and so did Syracuse.
Right.
Can't give them a little salute there at the end. That was nice. That's a touch of class there.
Well done by Syracuse, and congratulations, obviously, to Coach K. All right. I told you at the top of the show, maybe the greatest Packer and Durham bump ever, right?
It's hard to argue on this one.
All right.
Got to tell you.
On this show Friday, correct?
That's right.
Amanda Perkowski joined us from the fencing team at Notre Dame.
Extend.
Yes.
She said extend.
She then goes to Durham for the ACC Fencing Championships. She wins the gold medal in women's epi. Notre Dame's men and women claim the fencing title. And guess who ends up being the most valuable woman in the ACC Fencing Championships.
That's right.
Amanda Perkowski, fresh off a Packer and Durham debut. Got to know who you're running with, don't you?
Exactly right.
Got to know who you're running with. Agree or disagree?
How do you argue against it? Seriously, how would you argue against it?
The P&D bump is a real thing. You have tried to tell people it's a real thing. Now, it can go the other way occasionally, but the bump... clearly evident right there. Come on, this show, things happen.
Normally, that is true.
Right.
For the most part, that is, if a student athlete appears on our show, normally the next effort is outstanding.
That's right. Charlotte North is on the list, goals 4 and 5. She's had 4 games of 5 or more goals. 15-9, the win over Brown on Saturday. Apparently, there was snow in Boston. Just ask me. But Charlotte, no mind the snow, Pack.
Doesn't matter. Indoor, outdoor, snow, sunshine, she scores. Man, she is dynamic. Yep. I'm telling you, she is a superstar.
Has she got a 10-goal game in her this year?
I would not count against it.
That's right. Off to baseball. Georgia Tech's Chandler Simpson channels Jose Canseco.
Wait till you see this.
He hits a grand slam off the Gardner Webb outfielder's head. Well, it was
right behind the
here
graphic.
Here we go. You're getting another look here, I think. Let's have another look here.
It is. Doink off the head over the fence.
Oh, and he's like, where's the ball? It's over the fence, my man. So there you go.
You don't see that very often, do you?
Nope.
The old ricochet off the right fielder's forehead for the grand slam?
Yep.
That doesn't happen often.
Virginia scored 60 runs in three games against the Big Red of Cornell
since
in a baseball
dirt.
Series.
That's a since dirt right there. 60-3 for the Hoos.
Wow. That is crazy. I mean, we could roll this for an hour. 60 runs.
There have been some. I know baseball is just underway here.
Well, there have been
we're two
big
weekends.
Margins.
We're 2 weekends into a college baseball season, and everybody's just still trying to get the rust off of it a little bit. But, I mean, we've seen some crazy scores.
Jake Geloff becomes the first player in 21 years to hit for the cycle, by the way.
That's right.
There you go.
You don't have to tell me.
Cavaliers with 60 runs in three games against Cornell. Clemson baseball. Tigers scored in every inning in beating the Hartford. That would be the University of Hartford. 28-3 on Saturday.
Yeah, they won a doubleheader Saturday, but the one game in which they hit the 28 spot, every inning they scored. Oh, Monty Lee now, they've gotten off to a good start. About a handful of ACC teams still undefeated after the second weekend.
Yep.
Just saying.
All right. So the Tigers rolling 28-3 over the Fighting Vin Bakers of Hartford.
28-3. We've seen some, I'm telling you, Wake's put some 20s on there. We've had Virginia's put some 20s on the board. NC State's putting some numbers on.
Remember we told you to watch baseball Friday night, 6 o'clock?
What did I say about the poor kids from Quinnipiac? Neck brace, right? You know why? Tommy, I said, you wait and see. Big man, that freshman from NC State.
Tommy White is
good
a thing.
Reef.
And watch we're not, we're a week old. And Tommy White is a thing.
Look where some of these things go.
Roy Hobbs back.
That one landed in Roy Williams' house. The one in Wilmington.
Look at the swing. It's effortless.
He is pounding the baseball.
There's those all reds you like.
I don't care about those. But I tell you what, man. I had more NC State fans send me a note. You going to put Tommy Tanks on the show? It's coming.
He's got 9 this season. He's like 5th in total home runs nationally.
It's coming.
Like with teams as an individual. It's crazy. All right. Now, when I saw this on Saturday morning, I knew we had to get this video. Right? We had to get this. And our good friends at the Carolina Hurricanes obliged us. You've done this?
I have done this.
Well, I don't know if you did it this well, because Friday night, NC State Wrestling took over the sounding of the siren at PNC Arena for the Carolina Hurricanes hockey game.
Brothers of Destruction. Here they are. I'll tell you, it is a cool thing to do, man. People get fired up with it. It's awesome. I love it.
Thanks love to the it. Carolina Hurricanes for helping us out on the video. BC football also opened spring practice on Saturday.
Got to put that on the list.
Played outside. I mean, they had
football, brother.
Lacrosse outside. So Halfley's team opened spring practice on Saturday. They're one of 2 ACC schools underway with spring ball. Georgia Tech being the other one. There you go.
That's a long list, isn't it?
Best of the weekend.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
It's that time of the year, man.
No question.
Got lacrosse going on.
Yeah.
Could have thrown that on there. What Virginia did to Syracuse, that was worthy of being on there.
Right.
Virginia was really good Saturday.
Yeah.
Lawrence Tiffany had them ready to go.
When we come back, the worst. List not nearly as long, thank goodness. Oh, wait. Sam Wartenberg got a hand up? Oh, no. No. Oh, Mark Williams. He should have been best. Instead, Syracuse is on the worst. Back after this.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday, doing a little best of, and of course, unfortunately, the worst of the weekend, and there were a few.
Let's jump into it here. We got a short list.
I like to stay more positive from this weekend, right? Because you can beat the negative to death here. So the positive list is always going to be a little bit greater.
We got a negative for a win to start. You didn't like the Tiger Unis on Saturday?
I did not.
Down on the Tiger Unis. Clemson gets a 10-point win at Boston College.
Terrific win for Brad Brunell. And
Chase Hunter playing great.
To win two games without P.J. Hall, terrific. But, man,
Like the gray.
I do not.
They got a purple version. Do you like the purple version?
You know, yes. You know why?
Why's that?
It's their colors. Okay. Wes. You know, how often do I rip NC State for wearing black all the time?
Black for black.
What do I always say about NC State? It's the red and white of NC State.
Yeah.
You know, it's the grays of orange and purple of Clemson. Please.
Not that I'm telling Clemson how to handle their business down here. I'd like a white version of that jersey, actually. I'd like to see the white with the paw.
No problem with that.
You'd like that?
That's part of the makeup. I don't like the grays. Gray's my favorite color. So that doesn't do anything
for me. Take the grays out of the rotation for the alum over here. Yeah, I know. You like purple. Miami falls at home to Virginia Tech. I figured this would get on the list.
Tough loss for the Canes now. Hey, you got the double bye.
Bad loss, tough loss.
Tough loss. I said this was going to be the ACC
Packer
game of the weekend. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Sure.
Just because these two play such good games. But, man, alive. Virginia Tech's got to feel like, you know what? This one's coming our way. After what Charlie Moore did to us in Blacksburg, how about a little reciprocation here, right? Kind of feels that way.
So, Sam Wardenburg at the end.
I mean, they were down 8 with a 142 to go.
That's it. Yep.
Won the game. Great win for the Hokies.
NC State 1-9 at home in the ACC.
Apathetic fan base, just whatever. We lost again. I mean, just, you know, you go 1-9 at home, Wes. You give reason for the fans to go, I got something better to do. 1-9 in this year's ACC? I'm going to be completely honest with you. That stinks.
Yeah. Not good.
No.
Not good. Wake Forest, Boston College, and Carolina, the last three home games for the Wolfpack, who closed the season this week with road trips to Winston-Salem and to Florida State.
That's the good news. Mm-hmm. The good news is State's on the road.
Yeah. They played well on the road, right?
Played better.
Virginia's NCAA tournament hopes die potentially on the hand of Matthew Cleveland. The Cavaliers are 81 in the net. The game winner coming with a second and change to go on Saturday.
Well, it just forces now Virginia to go on a crazy run in Brooklyn. They're now part of that right side crew that, hey, you want to get in the NCAA tournament? Nothing in the 80s in the net is going to get you there. You got some non-conference losses that don't help you. This one was a killer. This last week was a killer. You had Duke with a shot and Florida State. I mean, you go 0-2 last week. That means you got a rocket in Brooklyn, man.
I know they had to look at it, but if I'm Matthew Cleveland, I just run to the locker room. Just
Charlie Moore.
Off the corner and
Charlie
into the
Moore,
locker room. Yeah.
Full throttle.
That's it. Right by those good folks that help with game management there at Virginia.
How about the emotion on that building? You go from feel like a game winner.
Right.
That we're going to pull this thing out. We get the win.
Yep.
We're still okay. We still got business to attend to this week for Virginia. And a second later, poof, gone.
That's the way it goes. Georgia Tech, worst of the weekend. Trailed by 34 at Notre Dame.
And it didn't even feel that close.
Yeah, there were a couple of these, men and women. The number, like the women's game yesterday, said 20-something on the board. Felt like a lot more. This game felt like a lot more. Wake Louisville felt like a lot more, you know? Boy, Dane Goodwin's had a nice year. Real nice year.
So the Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's still only one game out of Duke. They we just assume that Duke's going to win this thing, especially after their last performance.
Yeah.
Irish still have a shot to be the one seed. They need some help, though.
Louisville trailed by 32 on Saturday in Winston. 32.
It's all right. The women took care of it the next day.
Offensive foul there. Isaiah Musius back on the floor after missing the Clemson game. Looked good.
Louisville scored the first basket of the game, and the next thing you know, they're down 17-2.
Kind of like NC State, right?
Yep.
Jake LaRavia, we're in the zero, will be with us in the 9 o'clock hour. Dallas Walton's had a very nice year for Forbes' team. Syracuse trailed by 30 to the Blue Devils.
Coach K, he's over there saluting.
Here's your plaque. Good luck and congratulations on your retirement. Oh, we're down 30.
And by the way, please don't beat us by 60.
I have seen this happen with Duke. Duke has got a propensity. Coach K's great statement. They go to games where stuff gets celebrated or something happens, and the next thing you know, they are 24-2.
Well, they were great Saturday.
Oh, my God.
They were really, really impressive. It's 48-18 at one point in time in the first half.
Did I ever tell you that Georgia Tech retires Matt Harpring's jersey before the game? His senior night, Matt Harpring's number 15 is retired at Alexander Coliseum against Duke. That's the last home game. And it's 18-3 before.
That sounds like a bargain compared to some of the scores we saw this weekend.
I mean, it was like gone, ball game.
Well, you know, when you're really good and you're really well coached, you kind of like going on the road and shutting people up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always found the best teams, football, basketball, baseball, whatever,
right,
they love going on the road. Those kind of teams love going on the road.
That was the 98 Duke team, which was a good team.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, there's nothing better when you're yelling about your mom and your daddy at somebody, and they're like, they just smile at you in the warm-up drill going, okay, cool. Yeah. Let's tip this thing off and watch how quickly are you guys going to go home tonight? Yeah. That's kind of how that was Saturday in the Dome.
Well, it was not a great weekend for 1-6 in the Associated Press Men's Top 20 poll.
Yeah, we got to throw them in there. First time ever. 1-3, 4-5, 6-loss.
Yeah.
All on the road, by the way.
Yeah.
All on the road. Get ready for March Madness because this was a perfect precursor of what is ahead for all of us as college basketball fans for the next 4 to 5 weeks.
I wonder how the top – I know that a back end of that one line changed in Joe Lunardi's view. We'll see how much of it is impacted as we move forward the next 10 days.
You know, it might have been one of those deals that because everyone lost, nothing changed in some respects.
Yeah.
But it is just a reminder, though, of what awaits.
Yeah.
And I think that's the fun part.
The Notre Dame women trailed 31-3.
31-3 after one, and then just for fun, Louisville scored the first 10 to make it 41-3. Eventually, it was 45-4. And at that point in time, you're like, really? Is this really? I mean, like I said, this is not taking on, you know, five kids down the neighborhood. This was the 14th ranked team in the country on the road. As great as Duke was with the men on Saturday, that's how good Louisville was yesterday with the ladies. They were that good.
Wow. Duke, Syracuse, Clemson, and Notre Dame all trailed by at least 30 on Sunday? Wow.
Yeah, it was one of those kind of weekends.
Oh, man. Good night. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know.
I mean, I knew that Duke and,
you know, and for all of those blowouts.
Notre Dame had been down the line.
For all of those blowouts, we got the Virginia Tech NC State game last night, which was a great game.
It was. Great game.
That really, I mean, it had a lot at stake. State trying to win that thing outright. Virginia Tech trying to win to beat a double bye team. Literally came down to the last shot. Hokies had a chance for the upset win. Didn't get it. State wins. Virginia Tech's now on the outside of the double bye. North Carolina now on the inside. That game was as good as those other ones were, as ugly as it appeared.
There you go. All right, that's worst of the weekend. Thank goodness we move on. When we come back, we start look back at the unbelievable career of Mike Krzyzewski through the voice and words of former players and colleagues. Jay Williams takes us on a reflection piece next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Miracle minute. We're down 10 points against Maryland. We come into a timeout. He literally is like grabbing people in a huddle, but he's like pulling on jerseys and forcing you to look him in the eye, saying, "We're going to win this thing. We're going to win this damn game." I'm a sophomore, right? There is a part of me that is like, man, Like, we're not gonna win this game. Like, what the hell are you guys talking about? Like, let's be honest here.
Williams goes down the lane to lay it in. They need a miracle. There's one. Williams for three. Cut it to five.
All of a sudden, boom. You know, we're down five. And you're like, what the heck just happened? Now think about this. I don't really believe it at that time. And I look over at the sideline, he's just like, and you're like, God, we're gonna win this damn game. We're gonna win this game.
Can you believe what you're seeing? Oh, it's another three, it's a two-point game. Holy cow, it's the most remarkable comeback I have ever seen.
The genius of somebody believing in you when you're not even sure you can believe in yourself. One of the most crucial moments of my life is after I've had my accident. I'm in a hospital room by myself. You can only imagine there are billboards of me on I-90, you know, going down Chicago. I am the second pick of the draft. I have Michael Jordan's locker, the first guy to have Jordan's locker since Jordan retired. And I almost die in a motorcycle accident. And I'm laying on my hospital bed hours after this injury has occurred with metal pipes in my left leg that are sticking out, with metal pipes that are inserted into my pelvis with a tube down my throat. And when you're going in and out of consciousness and you're trying to rationalize what the hell has happened to you, and you open your eyes and you see your head coach there praying over you with a rosary, once again talking to you about what you're going to do when you're out of the hospital and what kind of player you're going to be and what kind of person you're going to be and how this is going to change you for the better. Tie those two scenarios together. A guy that gets you to believe in yourself when you're unsure on the court, and now you're in this other dynamic, fearful battle of life. And it's the same principle. Getting you outside of yourself, getting you out of your own way to believe in what you can achieve. From that moment, he became a fabric of who I am forever, forever.
Powerful stuff there, boys and girls.
When you get in this business, and, you know, Saturday night is going to be first of all, it's a heck of a game. It's a rival game that everybody's come to know as one of the standards in college basketball, right? There's that. Then you add this on top of it, and it becomes kind of this enormous piece of reflection of a singular person's impact on a program, and in this case, a sport, for better than 40 years. And Jay Williams tells a compelling story. There are, I'm sure, many others that share a like-minded story. I think that's part of the fabric of this entire thing. Championships, all that stuff, yes, it's a celebratory program, a landmark program, things like that. But the impact of the coach-player relationship never goes away, no matter what level. But if you do it as long as Mike Krzyzewski's done it at Duke University, Pac, it is the glaring thing of your work.
Well, not only the duration of what he's been doing at Duke, but the quality. I mean, it's been a standard by which just about everybody measures themselves, whether we're talking about the ACC or anybody else around the country.
Yep.
And the consistency and of excellence in maintaining that. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear coaches all the time who've had great success go, hey, it's one thing to get there. It's another thing to stay there. Think about what this guy's done for decade upon decade upon decade. And it didn't start off that way.
Right.
Right. And I know as this week goes on, the contributions and tributes and stories about Mike Krzyzewski are going to be almost overwhelming by the time we get to the game. I think it's going to be interesting to watch Coach K, who's been very adamant from day one, even when we saw him at the tip-off. He's, you know, he didn't want to talk about it. I don't want to reflect. We got to go win something. You know, we're in the moment of, as he always says, the next play.
Right.
And so I think it's going to be a real test to him and his team this week as you get to this final home game, the amount of emotion that you would normally have on a senior night, which is always great at any school, much less Duke, is senior night times a trillion, given it's Mike Krzyzewski's last home game on Saturday. So I think he's going to really have to kind of fall back on his fundamentals to maintain an evenness of, hey, it's the next game. Even though for us idiots, it's going to be bigger than life because it's Cade's last game and Cameron's going to be nuts. And, oh, by the way, it's the light shade of blue rolling in here with everything at stake. So it'll be fun to watch from afar. But to watch this guy who's a true genius at work, it's been an honor to watch him.
Yep.
I mean, it's incredible what he's done over this amount of time. Truly remarkable.
During the course of the week, we'll look back at games, landmark games in the career of Mike Krzyzewski. Today, we go back to win 1,000 in his career. Five best Coach K moments inside Cameron Indoor Stadium. Let's go back to win 1,000 at Duke, and that occurred against mighty Utah Valley State.
They never had a chance.
November 11th, 2017.
Yeah. BPI gave Utah Valley a 0.1% chance to win the game.
There's Marvin Bagley out of the corner. And the Blue Devils were off and running with Coach K. 1,000 wins. First men's coach to win 1,000 games with one school.
And let me just say, to try to find five, I mean, we're going to throw five on the board here this week. Man, you could come up with 500, right? I mean, just there's so many moments and games, and you could go back with the like I said, the incredible success, the excellence, which has been Duke basketball, and to try to narrow it to five is nearly impossible. Mm-hmm. But we'll do our best with this.
Yeah, so it'll be fun during the week to go back and look through specific landmark wins and landmark moments inside Cameron Indoor Stadium. We'll have more reflections on that as well. During the course of the week, all leading up to a big Saturday right here on ACC Network and certainly a two-hour game day over on ESPN that starts at 10 o'clock.
Well, I mean, that's all fine and good, but the show is going to be at 6.
Yeah. Right? Dan and Jay and Holly Rowe on ESPN, Debbie Antonelli, you and me on ACC Network.
At the kids' table.
Yeah.
That's what they should call that show, the kids' table.
Well, they fortunately have called it K's Curtain Call for us.
I like our idea better. Kids stay with a K.
You want to? You can hop on with those folks today if you want to try and change
that. I'm part of the Zoom call at noon today.
Well, no, that's a production call.
Well, I'm gonna.
This is a game now. These are all. They're all sorts of different things for the game.
The game is the most important thing.
Right.
Always.
Thanks, Coach.
It's never about the broadcast.
That's right. Never. That's correct.
I'm talking to you now.
Trust me, I've been there.
Okay.
It's always about the analyst.
No, it's not.
Yeah, in television, it's about the analyst.
Game.
Yeah, and the analyst for us is Debbie.
You don't get it.
Great.
Simply does not get it.
Yeah. When we come back, Power Hour features Jake LaRavia and Darius Maddox, and we'll highlight the weekend in the ACC, plus the infamous ACC index card with historical footnotes. All that and more in the 9 o'clock hour on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.